Living it, not being afraid of it, and the older you get, you start living a little bit more cautiously because you done been through some things, most of us. You have suffered some losses, and there's losses you're not willing to take anymore when you get to a certain age because you ain't got time for that. There's things you just not, your tolerance level is different. There's a lot of things you just simply don't have the patience to tolerate anymore. And then you find out that you develop a patience for other things you didn't have before. You know, but there's, life is, and I exhale because everybody is dealing with something. Everybody's dealing with something. There's not a single person that's not dealing with something. Now, whether you know about it or not, you know, whether you know the outcome of whatever the issue is or whatever they're processing, you know. And we often live looking at other people in comparison to our life. We do that majorly. We always are looking at other people and constantly, in a sense, comparing, especially women. Now, men may do this, but if y'all do, y'all don't confess it. But you're constantly comparing yourself, sizing yourself up, you know, to the next. I want what they got. I want what she got. Do you really? You sure that's what you want? Because what if you found out? What if, just go in your mind for a minute, just take that person that you say, I wouldn't mind having their stuff like that, their life like that. I wouldn't mind. Just go there for a minute. Now, let's just say you find out what you get their life, that they sick, real sick. They really ain't got the money we thought they had. They got a lot of debt, they got a lot of stuff that they ain't paid for, or stuff that they can't keep. Or their marriage is not exactly what you thought it was. It's good for show, but when you get on the inside, it's hell. It's worse than your hell. Reminds me of the story of the boy with the cross. You ever heard the story with the boy with the cross? Where he's talking to God, and he's like, you know, look, God.
No, I ain't heard that one.
He's like, look, God, this cross is too big. It's too much for me. This thing is heavy. This thing is too much. It's way bigger than I would. You know, this. I need to switch. Let me please give this cross up. I'll carry a cross, but this one's too big. If you just let me change it. So God said, okay. He sends this little boy into a room, and in this room was all kind of crosses, all sizes, shapes, curved, made out of different stuff. I mean, it's crosses of every size and nature in this room. And after a very long time of studying and walking, because, I mean, it's a lot, he finally comes out. He says, okay, this is the one right here, God. This is the one right here. This is the cross I can carry. I can carry this one. This one right here, I can do it. This is the one I choose, God. This is the cross I will bear. I said, you sure about this? Are you absolutely sure that's the one you want? Now, you need to make sure that's what you want because, you know, you may not get a chance to switch up again. So is that the cross you choose, that you choose to carry? Oh, yes, it's the perfect size. It fits me. I can handle this. He says, okay, I just need you to understand something. That's the same cross you went in there with. In other words, when you're just looking at your stuff by yourself, yes, it's heavy. It may not be cancer. It may not be the death of a loved one. It may not be you done lost your house, you lost your wife, you done lost your family. It may not be anything to that degree. Because when you're going through, it feels like your problems are to that degree. But the bottom line is, when you really, really, really look at your burden and the cross that you carry, and you really listen, if you really are a true listener and you're paying attention and you're aware, I tell people, be constantly aware of your environment, of the people around you. And if you shut your mouth, when people are talking, people will tell you, they will expose to you what you need to know. And as you're listening, you'll start to realize it ain't so bad over here. Yeah, the grass a little brown, dried up in spots. yeah, this needs to be checked and worked on. Yes, you know, I could rearrange this and have all these could, shoulda, woulda, possible changes, maybe rearranging. But if we take the time and stop being lazy trying to fix our own or handle or walk through our own storms, if we stop spending so much time complaining and hurting over your own storm, storms that are temporary, yeah, they may last longer than the night. Joy may not necessarily come in the morning. It may take a year or two before joy comes. It may take 5 years before that particular joy comes. But nevertheless, it's just life. It's just life. And you just got to be willing to deal with it. And sometimes when you don't want to deal with it, guess what? It's okay. Don't deal with it. If you have to walk away from it for a day or two, if possible, walk away from it. Sometimes you have to allow yourself and give yourself that permission. I don't want to deal with this right now. Now, I'm not saying total avoidance. That leads you to a whole other territory. Total avoidance is not healthy. So you don't want to do total avoidance, meaning don't deal with it at all, because you got to deal with it. Deal with it and get it out of the way. And I often tell my kids, it is, okay? The harder it is you think it is to deal with something, the more you don't want to deal with something, here's my suggestion that works for me, because I am a procrastinator. I work good under pressure. But one of the things that didn't work for me in college was being a procrastinator and that kind of pressure. So one of the things I've trained myself throughout my adult life, this didn't come in my early years, this came in my adult life, is the crap I don't want to deal with. The crap I don't, and it's not necessarily bad stuff. It's just stuff I don't want to deal with. That's stuff I deal with first, so I can get it out of my head and so I can move on, so I can get to a place of where I can exhale and get to a place of peace. Because I tend to deal with other things in life a lot easier than I tend to deal with things I don't want to deal with. Because that makes sense. Did I lose you? Y'all still with me?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm with you. You're doing all right.
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right.
All right, I'm doing all right. Okay, I try to do all right. I do try to do all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it be one of those days, you know what I'm saying? And I go into I don't give a darn mode. And I stay in I don't give a darn mode.
I think that's where I'm at now.
I stay there because, you know, I learned this about myself, and I'm learning to trust it. See, I knew it. I've always known it. It's just learning to trust it. And my mind has a way of saying, my mind has a way of, you know, me training it, you know, training to do certain things. It has a way of shutting itself down, protecting me. It'll shut down.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to shut down because you're going to go on overload. And really nothing good is going to come out of this. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into self-preservation and shut down. So my mind is going to shut down. It won't allow me to deal with it. Even if I sit down and try to focus and deal with it, my mind won't do it. It protects me. And when it's ready for me, when it says, okay, now you can handle this, it will, the thought or whatever it is that I need to handle will populate. And not only will it populate, it populates with a solution if the solution hasn't already came before then.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things in life, a lot of things in life will work itself out without you doing anything. A lot of things. A lot of things will work itself out. You know, especially the things where your hands are really tied and you feel like, I got to figure out how to fix this. I got to figure out how to fix this. A lot of times you find out you can't. All you can do is be still and wait and wait and trust. And quote his promises back to you. If he promised you, he would provide for you. Now, providing for you don't mean extra. That means the roof over your head, there's food in your refrigerator for you to eat, there's clothes on your back, there's a place to lay your head. That's providing your needs. Those are your needs. Anything over and beyond that are extra blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over that is extra. And really, anything over that usually causes us additional stress. Usually, the luxury or the wants, not necessarily the necessities or the needs, but it's usually. Because usually your necessity or needs is either going to be met or it's not. And you're going to be clever and know what to do. But I didn't mean to take up all the people to do a show today because you got something you need to handle.
Yeah, so. I do. But I don't care. I just needed to hear you actually speak because you speak in so much truth. It's not even funny. And I thank God for it. He knows what I needed.
He does.
So if nobody else got anything out of this show, I sure did. I needed to. I just needed a moment, you know, to hear some speaking. Sometimes it's good to be a teacher, and sometimes it's good to be taught. And sometimes it's just time to be quiet and let somebody else speak and minister to your soul so that you can get refreshed when life is hitting you upside your head. So I really appreciate it.
He just testing you. He just testing you for that next level. With these last couple of blows, I ain't gonna lie. These last couple of blows, I had to do this to myself. I said, I wonder, this is what Beyonce and Oprah don't gotta do. This is probably what they gotta do. You know, yeah. I have to find a way to laugh about it, to keep from totally stressing over it or losing my mind, because I know he's paying attention to my reaction of the situation. Is she going to trip and go back to her old ways of handling things? Or has she learned the new way? Has she learned her lesson? Has she realized her reaction to this situation is the biggest test? I'm looking to see, can you handle this? Because, you know, we was talking, and especially young people, young girls, you know, I had BB talking about me and this, and that, and they always be looking at me sideways. I said, hold up. Let me ask you something. So let's just keep it real. Let's keep it real. I said, basically, your level of how well-known are you, not just locally, but, you know, let's say county-wise. Now, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm popular. You know, yeah, everybody know me. Okay. So what is it that you're trying to do with your life? Yeah, I want to be, you know, they'll name something that deals with putting themselves out there. They'll always name something to put themselves out there, you know, singing, rapping, whatever, something to that, modeling, something. And I said, okay, here, stop this. If you can't handle this day-to-day BS of somebody talking about you, or somebody looking at you funny, what do you think people going to do when you get to the next level? You think they're going to stop talking about you? You think they're going to stop looking at you funny? So you gotta see, you can't trip over life. We're constantly tripping over life. Yeah, you can trip when you lose a loved one. You can trip when somebody's been diagnosed with something that's like life-threatening. You can trip when I'm on the verge of losing my home and I don't know what to do. You can trip when it comes to certain life-changing events. But don't trip too long, because staying in constant trip mode doesn't solve it. But that's the human part of you. The human part of you does trip, or some people call it processing it, you know, just going through the motions of the thought, you know, processing their feelings, the ins, the outs, the shoulds, the should nots, what if, maybe that, if only this, if I could change this, then this could happen. Processing mode. Just don't get stuck there too long. Because either you can do something or you can't. That's your first question. Can you do anything about it? The answer is yes. What can you do about it? Do it then, if it's possible. Now, if the answer is can't do anything about it, there's nothing I know how to do about it. Sometimes sharing their situation, sometimes another perspective helps you. sometimes if you have a group of people you can count on that you know won't just dog you and talk about you and rag you out, but you got some people who will give you their unbiased, unemotional opinion. Well, have you ever thought about looking at it this way? No. Well, will that work for you? Yeah. So sometimes there may be things you can do about it. You just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You just might need another person's perspective. But you don't want a person that's going to judge the issue because that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a different perspective. I ain't looking for you to judge my issue. I'm looking to see, do you see this any other kind of way? Because what you may see to be impossible, so I'm like, no, I went through that about 5 years ago. Let me tell you just what you did. See if it works for you. You don't want nobody to judge your issue. You want somebody to sit and maybe give you a different perspective on. So it's a different perspective to make all the difference. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just how your mind chooses to look at something. Sometimes your mind just a one-way door. You know, it just goes in, it doesn't, can't find its way out. And sometimes we need to expand our mind. That's why having good people, good positive people in your life, in a close circle, is so, so important. Your friendships reflect your personality. So if you got some untrustworthy people in your circle, then I would question you, not them, because they're in your circle. So you have allowed that untrustworthiness inside of your circle. The circle is yours. You choose who's in it, and you choose the reason why they're there, and how long they will remain.
Interesting.
It's like a family. It's like a family. That family could be your worst enemy. Family can actually take you out. family can make you actually feel 10 times worse than your worst enemy. Blood don't necessarily make it better.
No.
Blood don't necessarily make it truth and honest. Blood don't necessarily mean love.
Interesting.
You know, let's keep that real. So sometimes God sends you, sometimes when that bloodline ain't quite right, sometimes he gives you a family outside of your bloodline. And sometimes that family outside your bloodline is so much more important and powerful to you. They're the reason why you can hang on to your bloodline, is because this family over here encourages you to be open and understanding and loving in spite of wrongdoing. Just the thought of the day. Just the thought of the day. How is life treating you, and how are you treating life, and what are you doing with it? Are you scared of it? Are you staying in the house sheltered because you don't want to get hurt? Want to love, want to be married, but too scared of getting hurt? Impossible. There's no way to live life without the risk. There's no way to live life without risking. You're going to risk something. You see, to live fully, you got to live. You got to live. And that does mean sometimes you may get hurt. Somebody may get hurt. Somebody may not like something. It ain't permanent. It's only temporary. Only death is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your thought of the weekend. That is your action plan. Your life, what is going on with it? What are you doing with life, and how are you responding to it? Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
And on that note,
okay.
Patrick, smile. It'll be all right, all right? It's all good.
Yeah.
Family is all good. Trust. It's okay. It's okay. Now. Your action plan is to enjoy your Friday, your weekend, get you some rest, de-stress, let go, and just enjoy. That is your action plan for the weekend, family.
Right.
Can you handle that?
Peace and air grease, everybody.
Good night, people.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.